I want to share something with you today, and I think this is a really practical word. In fact, it's kind of funny because I like to listen to what I consider my home church every week. I consider Bethel and Redding like my home church, and I try to listen to them every week so that it's important to me to get fed. It's important to me to have something coming at me. And in fact, I was thinking about this morning. I don't think there has been more than 1 week in my entire life since I was a child, more than one Sunday that I missed church in a row. I just don't. And why don't I miss church? Well, back when I was a kid, it's because my parents made me go. Thanks, Mom. But no, really, thanks, Mom. But when I got fired up for Jesus, I just didn't miss church. I just didn't do it. And there had to be something important going on for me to miss. Why? For me. I didn't do it because God said, you have to do this. I didn't do it because I was religious. In fact, I grew my hair long to be a Christian when I was 14 years old. You know, I was a Jesus freak. I did it because it's for me. I need this. I don't know, maybe you don't need it. Maybe you don't feel that way, but I need this. And if I miss this, I'm looking it up. I'm getting it online. I'm doing something. That's amazing. Today we can do that. Back in the day, you know, you missed it, you missed it. You had to buy a cassette tape. How many remember doing that? Or CDs, or then DVDs. We never got to Blu-rays because we just went straight to, you know. So to me, I need this. I'm not saying that to condemn anybody. I'm saying it, if you've not been feeling like you need it, I'm just going to encourage you to think about that. What does that mean? Because I need it. So they've been doing a thing out in Bethel where they've been. It was funny because I was already doing this, and then I find out they're kind of doing it. They're repeating themes and important things that they want to reset foundationally to make sure people are, you know, good, like ready for what God's getting ready to do and already is beginning to do. I believe God's up to something amazing. I know the devil's up to stuff. I see posts on Facebook. People tell me all the time the devil's up to stuff. But I think God's up to something. Shh. Tell everybody. God's up to something. So today I want to do a testimony tutorial. Is it tutorial or is it tutorial? Tutorial. It looks like tutorial, but I hear people say tutorial. Tutorial. Technically. What's that? Yeah, I'm from the South. Tutorial. It's almost a turtle. And again, so yeah, every couple of years anyway, I share this message. I've done this every couple of years because I think it's important for us to understand and value the testimony. And so I wanted to go over some things with us, and then, you know, we'll do a better job when we give testimonies. So if you want to, turn to Psalm 119. That's going to be our base scripture today. That's going to be where most of the verses that I share with you will pop out of. And Psalm 119 has a lot of verses. Has a lot of verses. I forget how many verses is in Psalm 119, but it's a bunch. It's the most verses in the Bible in any one chapter. So you go to Psalm 119. I do, however, have a couple of verses that I want to read out loud to you. And if you want to take notes, doesn't hurt. You know, and if you're really fast on your phone or whatever you're doing, you know, some people use an app. And I, by the way, I like the app. I can highlight on my Bible app. Like with my finger, and I highlight stuff on my Bible app. It's really cool. I used to carry an ink pen. Maybe some of you still have that. And I had my Scofield King James Bible that I tucked under my arm, and you know, underlined everything. And sometimes it got. And then they started doing highlighters. But then I would push down too hard, and it would highlight into the next page. It's really confusing. So. Whatever you're doing, I want you to get some of this because this is probably the most complete I've ever done it. You know, every time I do a message, I add to it and stuff. So, but Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 17, you're probably already at Psalm 119. I'll just read this one to you. God speaking to Joshua. Almost said Joseph. I don't know why. God speaking to Joshua said, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. You shall diligently keep," everybody say keep, "the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you." Now, for most of us, we grew up in church and we knew we better keep the commandments. You keep God's commandments. Well, this not only says to keep the commandments, it says to keep his testimonies and his statutes. And we may not think of that very often. You know, we feel like, well, these are the things I'm supposed to do. Well, keep is not necessarily just the thing that you're supposed to do. It teaches us to keep, and the word keep in this verse means to watch or preserve or observe or be a watchman. It's translated be a watchman or protect. In other words, it's talking about how you value what God has given us. He's given us commandments, he's given us statutes, and he's given us testimonies. Commandments are telling us how to live. Statutes tell us how to think. And testimonies show us what to expect. A testimony reveals God's acts, which in turn reveal his ways. That was a quote from a Bill Johnson book, a book called The Essential Guide to Healing. Healing, if you want to see more healing happen in your life, read healing testimonies. Find out about healing. Rehearse healing testimonies. Value healing testimonies. You need a healing? Find somebody who's been healed of what you're healed of. You need healed of. Value that. Put a value on it. Because the testimony talks about God's ways. The original Hebrew word for testimony is the word to do again. So when you see a testimony, when you hear a testimony, it's a to do again thing. When God's done it before, he'll do it again. And he has done a lot of things in my life. He's done it before and he'll do it again. Sometimes he doesn't do it the same though. Have you noticed that? Like what happened the last time isn't exactly the way that he does it this time. And we all instinctively, I think, know if God did it for someone else, even if we don't have a lot of faith, maybe he can do it for me. I have seen healings that manifest themselves much more easily because I was able to tell someone about when God did it before. And when they heard about God doing it before, they got that hope began to rise up inside of them. And hope, well, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You're not going to have much faith if you don't start out with a little hope. And if you have no hope that anything can happen, then you probably will never get to faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. You can't get the substance of nothing. One more verse before we get to Psalm 119, Revelation 19:10. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's part of the verse. I'm not going to read the whole verse. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. From this verse, we can learn that our testimony not only tells us what God has done, but it prophesies what he will do. Think about that. Now remember, what's prophecy? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. So when I start to share the testimony, I'm sharing a prophecy. I'm sharing a prophecy that is edification, exhortation, and comfort. The more I prophesy, the more I testify, the more I prophesy, the more edification, exhortation, and comfort can come to those around. So, did you make it to Psalm 119? Good. I want to share several things from here. Go to verse 24. And if you have a way to highlight, or if you have a way to underline, or if you have a way to star or mark it or something, I'm going to give you several that are worth marking. Maybe you just want to put testimony beside it, and then each time we go, you can just mark it somehow so that later you can go back and read. And I'm not going to get them all today. But verse 24, your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Do you delight in testimonies? I like testimonies. Sometimes I think we'd be better off if we just did nothing but testimonies. I thought I'd get an amen on that. You know, the pastor's not going to preach. Hallelujah! I got a testimony. I could help with that. Yeah, I delight in testimonies because they do. They bring me to a place where I start to see what God's doing and I start to have hope. I heard a preacher once talking about a time when he went into a depression and he was there for months, literally. And finally, he started thinking, you know, about what God had done for him in the past. And when he started to realize what God had done for him in the past and what he'd seen God do for others, and he started thinking about the testimonies he'd heard and the testimonies he had, and he decided to start writing down testimonies, and he came out of that so powerfully because he began to get lifted up and encouraged and built up. And he's like, I don't know what God's going to do, but I know what he's done, and I know that he's going to do something like what he's done. There also are counselors. Not only do I delight in those testimonies, but I can take counsel in that. I can know that this is what God's like. It counsels me to trust him. I can feel myself change when I hear testimonies. And I got to admit, I've been a little low on testimonies. It seemed like last year, in the first part of this year, It becomes this thing where, you know, with everything that's been going on, you're kind of focused on what do I got to do to get this to work and what do I got to do to get that to work. And what I really need is I need to hear more testimonies because God's the one who makes things work, isn't he? If I'm trying to make things work, here's my testimony. It probably isn't a good idea. God needs to make things work because if it's left up to me, then it all is my strength. It's all in my ability. And that's kind of scary. Psalm 119, verse 31, I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. Cling. If you're going to be clingy, anybody know anybody who's clingy? What if we all got a little clingy with the testimonies? What if we just began to hold on to what God's done? Hold on, cling to the things that we've seen him do for us in the past, that we've seen him do for our family members in the past. And because the testimony teaches us to trust him, we can be confident that we will not be put to shame. Think about that, because that's one of the battles that we have, isn't it? We don't want to look stupid. We don't want to look like some dipstick. We want people to, we don't want to lose respect in the eyes of others. Although, remember, if you lose respect in the eyes of others, but you have respect in the eyes of God, you're way ahead. Just say it. Way, way ahead. Verse 36 of Psalm 119, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Incline my heart to testimonies and not to covetousness. Do we even understand what covetousness is? I'm not sure I preach on it enough. Well, today, I'm going to talk to you covetous people about your covetousness. No. Covetousness is wanting what others have because we don't fully recognize what we've been given. Can I say that again? Covetousness is wanting what others have because we don't fully realize what we've been given. Yeah, I don't want what you got because what you got's for you. That's your deal. You need what you got or God wouldn't have given it to you. Or maybe you got it in the wrong way and I'm sorry for you in that case because boy, is that going to be trouble. I want what God has for me because what God has for me is not only blessing, but it's not a burden. What God has for you, if I try to get it, it won't be a blessing, it'll be a burden. It'll be a burden to me. There are a lot of people burdened out there because they want to keep up with the Joneses. Got to drive what the Joneses drive, and they got to have what the Joneses have, and they got to do this, and they got to do that. I know. What God has for you is what you want more than anything. When we remember what God has done for us and keep, value it in the forefront of our minds, then that testimony turns our heart from the position of wanting to the position of thanksgiving. Get that? That makes sense? Like, I don't want anymore because I see by the testimony that God is taking care of me, I'm not going to want what others have. I want what God has for me. And now that I know that God is providing for my needs and I'm trusting him in that, and I've seen him do it before, I can move into thanksgiving instead of wanting. How many of you know people that just run around wanting stuff all the time and never have any thanksgiving in their hearts? Yeah. And no matter how much they get, they want more. Because no matter how much they have, they see somebody else who's got more. I guess there are a couple of people in the world who probably aren't in that position. Some bazillionaires. Except for even they don't have everything they want. Especially if they've got stuff they don't need or it wasn't their lot in life by God to get in the first place. Now it's just a burden. Verse 46. Another one. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and not be ashamed. The testimony has the power to open doors of favor with people of power. I know we think of kings. I don't know that we fully understand. You know, there was a time when there were lots and lots and lots of kings. I mean, everybody who had control of a little bit of territory was a king. We use the king word and we think of, you know, people who ruled great empires that spanned multiple countries. But in the time of this writing, there were little kings everywhere, little guys who thought they were kings everywhere, little despots who controlled everything around them. And by the way, if you ran into one of those little guys and they had control of a large group of people, you needed favor, because if you got out of their favor, bad things could happen to you. But this says that the testimonies bring us before kings, which means we have influence with people. How many of you would like to have more influence with a boss someplace or somebody who is in a powerful position and they control something that you'd like, but you can't get there from here? I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that my testimony, which has always been something that I wore on my sleeve, everybody knew I was a Christian. I can't remember doing a secular job interview where they didn't find out that I was a Christian somehow during the job interview. Still remember, I've told this before, the waterbed store. I went in, the guy looked at my resume, such as it was. It wasn't much. And he saw that I had already pastored a church. And he was a little worried because I might be a preacher. And I made clear to him when I was on his dime, it was his time, and I wouldn't be representing God well if I preached, especially at customers. They came in to get a waterbed. They didn't come in to get a message. Now, that doesn't mean that I didn't witness by my way of living and my way of life. I was a witness to all the people around me because I always worked hard. So I was a witness. That was my testimony. And people knew, yeah, he's the Christian guy that worked at the waterbed store with all the other guys that for the most part weren't. And it got me in. Sometimes they trusted me when they weren't sure they could trust the guy that had been working there a while that they would go out back and smoke dope with. So, you know, it just, your testimony opens doors for you, who you are and who God says you are, and you believing in who you are and who God says you are, and the testimony of what God's done for you. So there are decision makers that I think can be affected if we will keep, value the testimony. And here's just a question. Do the people that are around you that aren't the church people, a lot of us, our circle of influence, our circle of relationship is heavily involved in this group, and that's not a bad thing, but you're around other people. Do they know your testimony? Just a thought. Psalm 119, verse 95. The wicked wait to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I believe that the testimony is the key to overcoming fear, or one of the keys, not the only key. But your testimony is a way to overcome fear. Why? Because every time I've been in a hard spot and God's got me out of it, then I remember that and I get into another hard spot, and it doesn't make the hard spot go away instantly, but it can make the fear a lot less. I start to say, okay, but God's done this before. God's taken care of me. God's done this and God's done that. I'm going to be all right. I know God's going to do things for me. We just bought 1, 2, 3, 4, our fifth home. Now, that's not bragging. We bought our first home before we even got married. We actually bought the home and went in and fixed it up, and then we went there for our honeymoon. I've told you that before. But then we were at a point in 1986, 87, I remember thinking, I'll probably never own a home again. I really didn't think that I was ever going to be in a position in ministry to own a home. And I kind of told God I was okay with that. And God wasn't okay with that. My testimony is God took care of it. God knew how to handle that stuff because he's good. I just trust God to take care of things, to show me what I'm supposed to do. So when I'm afraid, and I was afraid I'd never own a home again, now I look back on that and I think, that's just silly. God takes care of his people. And honestly, I've had more than enough. Sometimes I wonder if I've missed it, because we've had more than enough. Have we given enough away to people? Could we have found a way to give more? My wife's much better at giving away everything than I am. Just saying. Should I tell this? No, I'm not going to go there. She's looking at me like, whatever it is, don't do it. Yeah, John's over here. Do it. Better be careful, John. She may put enough money in that thing just to make sure you're up here. Whatever the enemy has that he plans to do, God has something better in his plans for you. That's the testimony. Verse 99 of Psalm 119. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Well, there's a braggart. There are times when we boast in the Lord, and that's acceptable. And it's important to understand that. I know we think maybe David was being a little boastful here, but I think he's recognizing how powerful the testimony is, and he's giving specific understanding to us about how God has a plan for each of our unique situations. Sometimes we learn stuff that can't be learned by anybody else, because he takes us through stuff that nobody else has to go through or ever will go through. And so we should meditate on our testimonies. As I'm saying this today, I'm wondering, do you have testimonies? Are they already starting to come to you as I'm speaking, or has that not even happened yet? But it should. You should start thinking about times when God's come through for you, when times when God's done something and you didn't know how it was going to work, and you thought maybe it wasn't going to work, and you were ready to give up because it didn't seem like it was going to work, and then God came through. I may do my very best to advise and teach someone, but there are limits to my understanding. The testimony doesn't have those limits. The testimony can go beyond what others can do to help you. So it becomes the best counselor of all. And as we focus, the word here was meditate, as we focus on what God has already done, we continue to get that better understanding of what he wants to do. If you will, this whole book of the Bible is the testimony. And so when we look to the testimonies of God and we remember what he's done in his word, what he's done in our lives, it just begins to fill us up. Verse 111, I told you there were a lot of verses in this psalm. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Heritage refers to inheritance. You know, you're not getting what you deserve, right? You're getting an inheritance from the one who died to give it to you. We're not getting what we deserve. I'm so thankful I'm not getting what I deserve. Because I know I deserve a lot that I'm going to be able to avoid. Thank you, God. It's a big deal. When you share your testimonies, when I share my testimonies, when we share with each other our testimonies, it becomes an inheritance. It becomes part of an inheritance where we inherit what he has for us, where we start to realize, we start to come into a full experience of what he has for us. So when we share our testimonies, others are benefited, and when they share their testimonies, we're benefited. The truth is, we need, everybody say need. We need testimonies. We need them. Let me just say this here too. It's a good spot for it. I want you to understand something. Do you know that there are no little testimonies? I mean, we may see them as little. It may not be a big deal to anybody but us. They may not even seem like a big deal to us. Like, my testimony might be, you know, I just had this little thing that God did for me. God's been doing all sorts of little things for me, by the way. Over on the bench is a stack of cards, and I'm keeping them. They're prayer request cards from when we've been in here on Wednesday nights. I have about 9 prayer request cards there, something like that, and they've all been answered this year. Now, some of them aren't big deals, you know, just God helping me out. Some of them were kind of big deals because there were deadlines and things that needed to happen. Some of them didn't happen the way I thought they would, but God's taken care of it. And I can look back and say, we talked to God, we laid cards here. We do that on Wednesday nights. We lay cards right here, and then people walk around and we sign them, and then people can walk around and pray over them. It's awesome. There are no little testimonies, and even if your testimony is little, how many of you have ever heard of the straw that broke the camel's back? Sometimes that little, tiny, insignificant, teeny-weeny, not a big deal, nobody really cares, I probably shouldn't even tell anybody, testimony, is the thing that just pushes, just nudges somebody just enough. That last little nudge that then causes the breakthrough. If you do that kind of stress testing stuff that they do in laboratories and engineers do, you can see that they can measure stuff and they can put pressure against something and they watch it, and they just continue to slightly increase the pressure. And at some point, it may have been sitting there for days with a certain amount of pressure on it. One more little, the breakthrough comes. Your testimony might be that for somebody else. Their testimony might be that for you. Our testimonies might have a cumulative effect on somebody who comes in and is among us. Do you understand why I think it's a big deal? Psalm 119, 144. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. I like that word, everlasting. Maybe I should have got a little video of the Ever Ready Bunny. Boom, 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 boom. Just doing its thing. It just keeps going and going and going and going. Our testimony has that ability to keep going and going and going and going. And I'd never get tired of hearing certain testimonies. I've had Corey, she can't be here today, I've had Corey get up multiple times and tell us the testimony of when she was on her way home. What's it been, 8 years ago now? And had that horrible accident and the testimonies that go with that and the testimony of how God spared her and her family. I wouldn't mind hearing that again. There are testimonies that you have that I've probably heard before and you think, well, I told that one before. How long ago? Sometimes hearing the testimonies again just is what somebody needs. There's probably somebody in this room today or somebody who might be watching by the live stream who hasn't heard one of your big testimonies. Or maybe some little one that you think isn't that big a deal. But it's just what they need to hear. And so, when we give a testimony, it energizes us. And energizes people around us. Now, for some quick instructions. These are guidelines, first of all. These are not mandates. These are not thou shalt not. All right? But it helps if we kind of recognize some of these very practical things when we do testimonies here. And I know churches that won't do testimonies where they let people come up and get anywhere near a microphone because they have problems with people infringing on these guidelines. Well, I'm not that worried about that happening. I'm really not. And if I educate you on what we're looking for, that'll help you, won't it? Kind of have an idea of what we're looking for. This is what we need to do. So, our number one word for a testimony, does anybody remember? Beep. Beep. That's what a testimony's like. You know, sometimes when I see someone's head down looking at their phone at a traffic light, and I'm behind them, I give them a little beep. Unless I'm in a really bad mood. Beep. Don't text and drive. Okay, my old church lady attitude. Yeah, just a little beep. Brief, encouraging, edifying, and positive. We used to say powerful. But, you know, it doesn't have to be super powerful to have more power than we realize. Sometimes the testimony that doesn't seem very powerful, like wasn't a big deal, sometimes that's one of the best testimonies. I went out this week to pick up food for the family when we were over Friday night visiting my son. They sent me out to Cracker Barrel. Some of you know I love to go to Cracker Barrel because I almost always prophesy over the waitress. I love the food too, but I just, you know, it's like, that's my, I don't know, that's my place. I prophesy over waitresses at Cracker Barrel. What can I tell you? Well, this time I was in the to-go thing. And there's this girl, and I'm just, there's no conversation, there's no connection. She just, yeah, the money here, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, God, I want to prophesy over this girl. It really wasn't that great a prophecy. I just, she was encouraged and a little bit weirded out. Probably more weirded out than encouraged, I'm just saying. But, you know, I was just looking for an opportunity to minister to somebody. Just to, so, you know, that's my testimony right there. Now somebody says, well, what kind of testimony is that? Well, it's one that says, if I can do it, you can do it too. I mean, you know, sometimes people look at you like you're kind of funny. Maybe later, after I left, what I said sunk in, and maybe God confirmed it. How many of you know God can do that? And maybe it started a movement for her, where God started to move in some things. It might have been just part of a chain already started it. I don't know. I think I told you last week, I prophesied over a young lady. I didn't prophesy over her. I prayed over a young lady at Putt-Putt in Logan. And it turns out she was a Christian. And she really got, like, thank you. It was really a big deal to her. She really appreciated it. You never know when you start into these things what's going to happen. So, it may not be super powerful or seem even super powerful or spectacular. Maybe that's the word I should use. How many of you know we like those spectacular ones? Yes, I was standing in a crowd at the store and suddenly the power of God came upon me and I said, come hither! God doth wish to heal thee. Well, that's probably not going to happen because I don't do King James real well. You could tell, right? Yeah, spectacular isn't the only thing that God is doing. Sometimes he's just doing some real simple things. And we know that, by the way. You know that from the scripture in 1 Kings 19 where Elijah is at this place and a mighty wind comes. But God was not in the mighty wind. And then an earthquake. But God was not in the earthquake. And then a fire. But God was not in the fire. And then a still small voice. And God was in the still small voice. So, beep, brief, because there are other people who may want to give a testimony. Encouraging, so making people feel courage, not, well, you know, this bad thing happened to me and it was really pretty bad, yeah. Edifying, build up, build them up, give them the materials they can to get stronger and be stronger, and positive. Just really let that happen. Speaking of wind, by the way, I mentioned wind. God was not in the wind. Don't preach. What? You do? I know. And there's a time for that. And if you really got the preach on you, let me know. We'll find a time for you to take my place. Have you noticed that we do that here some? Need to do it more. You can preach. Yeah. And if you want to preach, we'll work out the when and where. We'll make room for you. Be honoring. Your testimony shouldn't slam anyone but the devil. Yeah, did you get that? Well, I got this relative. Not saying their name or anything. Married to my daughter anyway. But, you know, anyway, I just, okay? Don't slam anyone but the devil. You can slam him all you want. He needs a good slam. Be worshipful. I think the goal is to demonstrate the greatness of God. Now, that being said, just remember, if we have no glory, we have no glory to give. There's nothing wrong with us finding out something good happened to you. or that you did something good. It's good. You got to pray for somebody and something cool happened. You got to testify to somebody and something amazing happened. You got to prophesy over somebody and it worked. Or maybe you did all those things and nothing worked, but you were just glad that you tried. I will be glad that you tried. By the way, I've been making it a habit the last few weeks. I'm writing down who I'm praying for every day, or prophesying over, or testify to, whatever I'm doing. I've been writing it down. I've just been keeping a journal. I've been calling it my... I got a title for it. I can't think of it. Right out of my head. Anyway, it's good. It's a good title. I just can't think of it right now. Everyday Encounters. That's what I call it. Everyday Encounters. I'm looking to have an encounter with somebody every day. A couple of times I thought I wasn't going to have an encounter with somebody, and it was kind of like, oh, my day is going by and I didn't get a chance to have an encounter with anybody. And then I went and got gas. Hunted for somebody. Run to Walmart. Look for somebody. It's not bad that you look good as a result of something that God did in you. So don't be afraid of that. We should celebrate, and we want to celebrate your victories. Even if your victory was just, I prayed for this person and it didn't look like anything happened. But just remember, what did I say just last week or the week before? Nothing is impossible. That means something's always happening when we pray in the name of Jesus. May not be what we expected, but something's going on. Now, I want to share two more verses with you. Maybe three. No, that's it. John 1, 19 through 20, and Matthew 10, 32 through 33. I'm going to kind of read them together because there's something that I can help explain by using these two verses. And it's kind of weird how this goes together, but you'll get it. Now, this is the testimony. Everybody say testimony. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed. Everybody say confessed. It's in there twice. I am not the Christ. So his testimony was, I am not the Christ. And he made that clear by confessing it. Matthew 10, verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Confession is the expression of the testimony. Confession is the expression of the testimony. When I'm confessing, I'm testifying to what's happened. We have taught this before, and I still use it. The ABCDs of coming to know Jesus. It really doesn't work unless the person really has something going on inside them. But I recently got to pray with someone, and we led them in the ABCDs because it was easy, because it was a young person. A, admit. Admit that you need God. Admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you can't do this on your own. You weren't designed to do this on your own. A lot of times that's what I tell them. B, believe. We have to believe that he wants to touch us, that he wants to save us, that he wants to take us to heaven. We have to believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe? That's the B of this whole thing. C, confess. I was very excited because this young person that I prayed this prayer with got the confess thing and went right out and told some people. Very powerful. One of the things that really helped me when I was 14 years old, I got saved again. I know there's some theology in that we might want to. But anyway, I had an experience with God again. I went out and told all my friends, and then they held me to it. I told everybody. So there was no way for me to backslide without looking like a dummy. I kind of burned my bridges to the devil. My confession was very clear to everybody, and my testimony was coming out in my confession. Your confession is the expression of your testimony. If God touched you and you're now a disciple, you've now made a decision that you're going to follow him all the days of your life, that's your testimony. It's the expression of your testimony is the confession. And so here's what I think we need to really realize. When we don't express our testimonies, no matter how big or small we think they are, when we don't express our testimonies, we are in the unenviable position of denying Christ. This is a word of warning. This is as harsh as I get right here. Mean old pastor. Holding you down. When we don't express our testimonies, we are in the process of denying Christ without even realizing it. God did something for you and you didn't tell anybody? Pastor stands up and says, come on up and give a testimony. I know some of you are uncomfortable talking in front of people. I get it. But I would be a poor pastor if I didn't strongly encourage you that you need to get over that. Like, get past it. Besides that, if you really, really, really have had an experience with the living God, then you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God, so it doesn't make any difference what kind of fool you look like in front of people giving your testimony. In fact, Paul said, I am a fool for Christ's sake. Well, people will, and I did not know this. This is the funniest thing because some of you know I was thinking about preaching this last week. And I hadn't heard Chris Volaton's message from Bethel that I heard this week. And I think it was from the week before, but some of their stuff is a week behind. So I did not know this. For 15 years, before he ever went down to Bethel when he was up with Bill and they were up in the little town of Weaverville, and they were in this little small town, he was part of the church there, and he was responsible for a group of about 30 people that met together every week. It was their small group, which wasn't very small, 30 people. And he said, so they met on Wednesday nights, and every Wednesday night, he would be ill. Now, if you've ever seen Chris talk, you wouldn't think that he would ever be nervous about talking in front of people at all. For 15 years, he was sick to the stomach at having to deal with a group of people that he was going to have to lead and talk to. I don't know. I might call that perseverance, maybe. He did it anyway. I don't want to be in the position where I've denied Christ or denied something of Christ that I have that could be beneficial, helpful, wonderful, or even just tiny and just push somebody over the edge. I don't want to be that person who runs out of steam and doesn't give God the glory that he deserves. And our testimony is a confession that will then cause him to confess us before the Father. I don't want to get to heaven and realize that I held back a testimony that might have been just exactly what somebody needed. Because I was a little nervous. Well, that's just not me. Well, then you need to die. Sorry. That's what I want for you. I want you dead. And your life is hidden with Christ and God. And now you can do it. I can do it because I died. And now, as we get ready to end this message, I want to remind you, your testimonies are worth repeating. I already said it once, but I want to make sure I make it really clear. Your testimony is worth telling again. And sometimes it's one way, one of the ways that we can learn to hear the voice of God. Because if we say, God, is there something I can share with someone, and we share a testimony, and they go, oh, wow, that was really good, then we'll know we heard the voice of God. Or if we share a testimony and they don't seem to get it at all, and we realize, oh, I should have shared that other testimony. You know, it's a way to get in position where you start hearing the voice of God better and sharing things with people that will be a blessing to them. For centuries, Israel kept all the testimonies that God gave them by repeating them over and over and over and over. They repeated them. They told their children. They told their children's children. Generation after generation repeated what God had done. So I'm about to say, does anybody have a testimony? And some of you, probably not all of you, although wouldn't it be horrible if we, I don't know, had our stomach growled a little bit longer because, well, you know, we had all these people who wanted to give a testimony. They started feeling like God might be speaking to them, and everybody started getting that. We'd probably have to turn the live stream off because it would be all day, but you know what I'm saying. So I'm going to pray, and we'll say goodbye to the live stream people because we've been streaming along enough. Somebody looks at the bottom and sees the live stream is 8 hours. They're going to be like, I don't think I'm going to watch that today. So we won't do that. If you want to hear about the testimonies, I don't know. Will we get any of them recorded? Maybe we'll put a couple of them up. No, people are, it's bad enough. It's bad enough. Yeah, now I just made several. Oh, I was building up my strength to get up and testify, and then you said you were going to put it on YouTube. Yeah. No, we won't do that unless we get your permission. How's that sound? Yeah, that's good. So I want to pray for you. Can we do that? And pray for the people who are watching. Papa God, I don't want us to feel pressured and condemned and overwhelmed and bad, but I want us to feel that we have this glorious opportunity. We have this thing that won't maybe be easy, but when we do it, it's going to change the trajectory of our lives. It's going to make the lives of others better. It's going to bring us in a place where we have opportunity to affect kings, people in controls of situations. We're going to have a glorious experience as we learn to let our testimonies out. And thank you, Lord, that there is a safe place right here for us to practice that. For those who might be still watching, Lord, we pray that they have a safe place to practice, to learn, to get really good at giving the truth of what you've done to others through a confession that is their testimony. We just pray, Lord, that you'll just show us how this can change our lives and the lives of others, and we'll get excited about it, God, that we'll be more excited about it than ever before, and we'll be anxious and ready to share what you've done for us. Put it on the hearts now, Lord, of different ones in this room, and we just pray that we'll learn to do this better and better in Jesus' name. Amen.